May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves, demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Auburn Undercover Podcast. And this is what we call one of those emergency podcasts. It's not really an emergency, but it's one we want to put out quick after big news. And there is really big news today, really big recruiting news, really big football news, really big news regarding Brian Harsin, Auburn's new coach. And to discuss this, I'm joined by Jason Caldwell of Inside the Auburn Tigers. And again, I'm Keith Niebuhr with 24/7 Sports and Auburn Undercover, and we're the two recruiting insiders, and that's why we're on this show today, Jason, because the news is significant. Dylan Brooks, released from his letter of intent with the Tennessee Volunteers on Friday, has committed to the Auburn Tigers. Today, we're going to give you a little background, and then we're going to talk about what kind of player he is and what kind of role he might have with Auburn. But Jason, just your initial reaction, Dylan Brooks, finally, after a long, winding road, is going to be an Auburn Tiger.
Keith, it's really interesting because I think when we kind of started, you know, following his recruiting, we both thought he was going to wind up at Auburn. We didn't know it was going to take this long and winding road.
That was about 3 years ago.
Yes, it was. It's been about 3 years ago. Correct. But I think, you know, for you know, the whole process, everything, it's been a grind. There's no question about it. But I think in the end, I think this is where I thought Dylan was going to wind up all along. I think it's a comfortable place for him, but it hasn't been easy. And so along the way, there's been a whole lot of peaks and valleys in this recruiting. And so I think he's, you know, he his family, coaches, everybody probably happier than anybody that this thing's going to be done.
Well, like you, I always thought he would end up at Auburn until he actually signed with Tennessee, and then I figured it was over with. But let's tell you a little bit about Dylan Brooks. Who is he? 6 feet five, 250 pounds, defensive end. Could be a weak side end, which means he's a pass rush guy. Could be a strong side guy. It's really going to depend on how much he grows. We'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. But he is the number 76 overall recruit in the country for the class of 2021. Again, he's a 2021 guy. He will enroll at Auburn this coming summer. We have him as the number 4 ranked recruit in the state of Alabama. Again, for the industry-generated 24/7 Sports Composite. That takes 24/7's rankings, ESPN's rankings, Rivals rankings, and puts them in a bowl, mixes them up, and gives you kind of an average. So a top 100 recruit, Jason, he immediately becomes the highest ranked recruit on the 2021 commit list or in the 2021 recruiting class for Auburn. Played at Hanley High School, Roanoke, Alabama, just about an hour away from Auburn. He's been going to Auburn games forever. He's had relatives play at Auburn. One of them, many of you will recognize this name, Jairus McIntyre, the former great receiver with the Tigers, who's now the head coach down in at Tampa Catholic High School in the Tampa Bay area of Florida. But Dylan Brooks, 6 feet five, again, 250 pounds, a big addition for the Tigers. But, you know, Jason, last spring, you and I both thought, okay, this guy's probably leaning toward Auburn. But behind the scenes, we were learning things more and more each week. And we started to hear in the spring that Auburn was starting to be concerned with Tennessee, that Tennessee had really built a great relationship with Dylan Brooks, Derek Ansley, the defensive coordinator, Jeremy Pruitt, the head coach, some other people up in Knoxville. And Auburn was getting real concerned. And sure enough, we got a call one spring morning. I think it was April. That said, hey, Dylan's going to Tennessee. Later that day, he picked Tennessee, and he was committed to the Volunteers throughout the process. Auburn continued to work on him. There was always some concern in the Brooks camp that they didn't really know how much the old Auburn staff wanted him, though, and we brought this up before. the recruitment of him was sort of hot and cold. Sometimes it was hot, sometimes it wasn't. But Tennessee was consistently there for him, and he felt the need there. He felt the love. They were told that the Brooks family was told that Dylan would have a chance to compete for a starting job early in Knoxville, and that's where he was committed. And then he, lo and behold, signed with Tennessee during the early period in December. He actually told people he didn't sign. That became a little bit of an issue too, but it turns out he did sign it, which was revealed a week or so later, or a couple of weeks later. But he signed with Tennessee in December. So you're thinking it's all done. But in January, Tennessee fires Jeremy Pruitt for a lot of reasons, apparently. We'll let the Tennessee lawyers talk about that, Jason. But and then just within 24 hours, Dylan had reached out to us and said, "Hey, I'm gonna submit a request for release. This is an extenuating circumstance." According to Dylan, he was told in last year that these guys would not be fired. He signed, they were fired, and he wanted out of that situation, really close with Jeremy Pruitt. So when Pruitt was no longer at Tennessee, that meant he didn't really want to be there. He really liked Tennessee, but it was that relationship with Pruitt that was such a big factor. Put in his request for a national letter of intent release, took 30-something days, just over 30 days, I think it was the 30th day, when Tennessee got back to him and said, "Okay, we'll let you out of that release." But according to Dylan, at first, there were some restrictions, and the main restriction was, or I guess the only one, you can't play anywhere in the SEC. But Tennessee faced some backlash from some media out there, and a day later did the right thing. And I'm not going to sit here and bash Tennessee, Jason, but they did the right thing in the end and gave Dylan that full and unconditional release. That was Friday. A day later, he's an Auburn Tiger. He talked to the Auburn coaches late Friday because they couldn't communicate with him until he was released. He also talked to some other schools. Many schools reached out. I can tell you one, UCF, now coached by one Gus Malzahn. There was some interest from FSU, Clemson, some others, Oklahoma, I think. But in the end, Jason, he's an Auburn Tiger. I know that was a long story and I haven't let you talk any, but just your general thoughts on the, Tennessee finally in the end doing the right thing.
Yeah, you mentioned it, and this is not just about a school firing a coach, because that's the thing that this kind of got lost in this. It's like, it's not just about that. When your chancellor in that same press conference basically admits because of serious NCAA violations, then that's more of an issue, in my opinion. It's like you're signing with a program that's getting ready to potentially go on probation without the coach you signed with too. To me, it's all in one. And so in the end, I just don't think Tennessee had much of a choice in this matter. If you don't do this, especially having already released another player in a similar situation, you come off looking really bad. And they'd already kind of set themselves up in the state of Alabama anyway, with Rock Taylor at Oxford and kind of basically telling him the day before that, they didn't have room for him in a class. They'd already kind of put themselves in a bad light anyway. And now to add to it, I thought – in the end, that was the only choice they had, was to give him that full release.
Yeah, you try to be as impartial here as possible. We know the kid. We know what he wanted. He didn't really want to go there once Jeremy Pruitt left. But, I understood Tennessee's situation to a certain degree because, you want a guy that signed. I mean, look, they tell you to sign with the school, not for a coach. So you understand that part. And, they just figured, I think, hey, let them meet the new coaches. Let's see what happens. You never know. Who knows, right? But at the end of the day, I think it became clear that no matter who the coach was there, no matter who the defensive coordinator, D-line, any of that stuff, Dylan just really didn't want to be there anymore. And, I don't think it's productive to just sit here and bash Tennessee all day long. I mean, they – in the end, they did the right thing here. And look, Dylan wasn't an early enrollee, so there was no academic issues there. And he still had plenty of time between when, now and when he enrolls. Now, I guess what I'm saying is what's done is done. And he's happy. And, quite frankly, I think, again, that Rodney Garner, Auburn's former defensive line coach, Jason, is now Tennessee's defensive line coach. And we had always heard that, there was discussion on the Auburn staff. Like, some people maybe wanted him more than others. So, I don't know. It's kind of a unique situation. But again, in the end, it's over and done with, and no point in belaboring this and beating a dead horse. But Jason, what is Auburn getting in Dylan Brooks? Because that's what really, I guess I waited too long to get to this part, but that's what fans want to know. What is Auburn getting in Dylan Brooks, the number 76 recruit in the country?
I think it's upside for him, and I think it's all about potential. He's a guy that played, you know, and had a stronger senior season as he played himself back into shape. That was probably the toughest part for him. Toughest part for a lot of kids that were in smaller towns. You know, a lot of kids that were in, you know, bigger towns that had access to maybe more areas where they could work out, do some things during the pandemic, didn't have as much impact on them. But for, you know, kids in these smaller towns, there was nowhere to go work out unless you kind of jumped out and you know, ran the roads or did something. So Dylan, when they got back on the field in August, I think he was a little bit out of shape. He'd be the first to admit that. And his coach, you know, told me as much when I went over and watched him, you know, one of the first days they were back to practice. I think it took him all year to kind of get back into the rhythm a little bit. So I think he's a guy, to me, you mentioned defensive end. You know, you think about Derek Mason potentially being a 3-4. I think he could potentially be a bigger stand-up guy. I mean, he's an athletic kid. That's the one thing he is. He played basketball. He did some things. I think athleticism right now more than power would be my strength. And so I think he's got to get bigger and stronger, much like just about every kid you recruit out of high school. So I think, you know, the athletic part of things, maybe you could have a big stand-up outside guy in a 3-4 kind of system. I think he does give you some of those things. But to me, the biggest thing is for Dylan is going to be coming to Auburn and finding that mean streak. He's such a nice kid. And he's always been bigger and more athletic than just about everybody's played. Now he's going to go up against guys that are bigger and fast, he's going to have to develop that mean streak to kind of take that game to the next level. And that happens a lot of times.
Yeah, I think people look at this kid's ranking and they say, okay, top 100 recruit. I mean, this guy's going to be playing on day one. I don't know if that's going to happen. You know, one, you like you said, he's an upside guy. He's got a lot of work. I mean, the clay is there. The piece of clay is there. And there's a lot of athleticism and skill and that frame with which to work if you're an Auburn coach. But on the other hand, Jason, you know, Auburn's got a pretty good defensive line and edge rusher room right now. You know, you forget they just brought in Andrew Liotta from Northwestern as a transfer, and he's going to be eligible to play right away. That's a guy that's an edge guy. I got Derek Hall back. Romello Height's a guy on the team. So there's some guys there. But that's good. That's good. That is actually good that he doesn't have to come in and be a major contributor from down. That's not to sit from day one. That's not to say that can't happen, but it's good that it doesn't have to happen because Auburn, look, in the SEC, you're going to win up front a lot of games. And Auburn, you know, Auburn's D line should be significantly improved over last year. So I think that's a good thing, Jason. They can take their time with him and he can learn the ropes and get physically stronger. They don't have to force him out there from day one. They can wait till he's truly ready to play. So don't be surprised if he's not out there against Penn State in week three or whatever. I mean, this is a work in progress, Dylan Brooks. And I think everybody that recruited him knew that and understood that.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, you mentioned the depth there. I think that's one of the keys. And you mentioned, you know, a guy like Liotta coming in. That may be the case study in what Dylan Brooks can become in this defense because they're very similar type of guys, very similar size. And we'll see if the skill set matches up. But I think it'd probably be pretty close. Could Dylan Brooks play at 275 by the time he's done? Yes. Could he be a 245 stand-up outside linebacker? Yeah. You never know which way guys are going to go when
that's
they
right.
That college okay. Strength and conditioning program. That's what we'll have to see for him, what he looks like probably by the middle or end of that first year because he's not in early. He's not in spring practice.
And, Jason, you bring up a good point. You never know which direction a guy's body is going to go, but you also don't know how that – whatever direction they go, how that's going to impact their play. I mean, a lot of people think Owen Popeau was better in 2019 than 2020. Maybe not. I mean – better laterally moving and quickness and things because he put on weight. He became a different type of player. Here's another example of that. Actually, it was on the tip of my tongue and I forgot it. Give me a second, Jason.
T.D. Moultrie's a guy.
T.D. Moultrie, there we go. Yeah.
He lost that quickness edge.
That's right.
That's the thing. You have to find that common ground. It's been one of the keys. Hey, I was always the proponent of a guy like Jaron Handy getting bigger and moving inside. By the end of the year last year, we saw him start to turn the corner and get low and be able to pressure the quarterback. And I thought, okay, well, maybe at 255, that's where he belongs. So Sometimes it takes a little while to figure that out.
All right, lastly here, before we let everybody off the hook and get back to their normal regularly scheduled programming in their lives. Jason, this is big for Brian Harsin, obviously, Auburn's new head coach. I mean, you know, look, I mean, you know, AL.com kind of took some shots at him for his recruiting with the 2021 class, the finish. You know, it's, you know, that, look, I mean, it's, you're a new coach, you're trying to get the right guys in there, and it's hard right now, especially in this, you know, pandemic era where you can't go to schools and you can't have kids on campus. But this is a big win. Again, a top 100 recruit, in-state guy. What are your thoughts on the overall significance just for Brian Harsin and the Auburn program here?
Yeah, I think it's important. You're right, because, you know, I think Auburn fans found out, and other people haven't had to learn, but what other schools had figured out, which is when you make a coaching change nowadays because of the early signing period, it is a significant issue when you talk about that February signing period, because there's just not a whole lot of guys left. I mean, was it 90% or so of the top players already signed? So it definitely puts a crimp on that February signing period and makes it tough. I thought they did a good job of finding quality players, even though the rankings might not back it up in all cases. But I thought they did a pretty good job. But you're right, now is the moving forward part, and getting a guy like Dylan Brooks is a big deal when you start talking about 2022 and 23.
Well, he's a big name guy. Everybody knows who Dylan Brooks is. Jason, you mentioned it earlier. We've been writing about this guy for years. Kids read our stuff. Coaches do, high school people. I mean, you know, fans do. So this is something. And also, Dylan's been in the news this week. So now he's an Auburn Tiger, and people are talking about Auburn again in a good way. And hey, Auburn got a big time guy, you know, maybe that can get the ball rolling a little bit as we head into the 2022 cycle. But anyway, Jason Caldwell from Inside the Auburn Tigers, thanks for joining us. I am Keith Niebuhr with Auburn Undercover and 24/7 Sports, and this was the Auburn Undercover Podcast. We appreciate everybody stopping by. A big day for the Auburn football program. Dylan Brooks, former Tennessee signee, top 100 recruit, is now headed to Auburn. Take care, everybody.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.